Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, I think that we should start off with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can come before you and open your word today. And I ask that whatever it is that you have to share with us, Lord God, that you will impress it on our hearts this morning. And that you'll help us to strive forward into what lies ahead for each one of us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This message was one of those ones that was very difficult to write. I knew what God wanted me to be talking about. I just didn't know how he wanted me to say it. I actually, frankly, still don't know how he wants me to say it. So this is going to be an interesting one. Let me start off just by sharing a little bit about my time. As most of you know, I was away a couple weeks ago. And what that consisted of is I went back to BC for a few days to go to a friend's wedding. And while I was out there, I went to my old church. And as I went to this church, I began to notice different things that they were doing, both things that I agreed with, things that I didn't agree with. As you know, anytime you visit a church and you're a pastor, that's what you do. It's the curse of being a pastor. And then later on, I came back and then drove back up to Calgary to go to a district conference for a number of days at First Assembly in Calgary. And as I was there, I was looking around and just noticing things and learning things. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is that churches are not that different from one another. And you might be saying, well, that makes sense. Why would a church be all that different from another one? We serve Jesus. We love Jesus, you know, and so we got to have our music and we've got to have our messages and all of this type of stuff. But that's not actually what I mean. Obviously, there are certain things that at every church are going to happen. What I meant is that churches, when you look around at the facilities, when you look around at kind of who those churches are catering to, when you look around at the people that are in the seats, really by and large, they all look very similar. They all look very, very similar. One way to put it, at least in the churches that I have visited recently, and as I began to consider around our community who we see, I began to realize that really our churches in North America can tend to cater very, very well to what the white middle class would love to see and hear and feel. We do a phenomenal job of making church exactly what we want. Exactly what feels good to us. But I want to contend with you today that there is something missing in the way that we have been doing church. That there is a group of people that is missing in the way that we have been doing church. Consider with me, if you will, a cure. If somebody had created a cure for the most prevalent, widespread disease known to humankind in human history that every single person had and that you were guaranteed to die from. And they gave you the cure and they injected you with the cure and they said, now that you've got the cure, here's a couple vials of it and go and give the cure to the people that you know, to all the people. And so you and those that have been cured, you began to go out. Now my question to you is, who would you go to first with the cure? Now, if you're like me, you'd probably first go to your family, because that's natural, right? We care about our family deeply, and so we've got this cure, and we come to our family and we say, you need this cure. And then maybe you would go to your coworkers or your friends, and you'd say, you need this cure. And then after them, maybe you'd go to your neighbors. And some of us, we have weird neighbors, and so maybe that wouldn't be our first choice. A lot of us probably don't even know our neighbors, but we've been working on that, right? For the past year, we've been working on getting to know our neighbors. And so you go to your neighbors, and you give them the cure, and then you look around at everyone that has the cure, and you go, you all look almost identical to me. And what I want to point out is that there is an entire demographic who, if that is the approach that we take, going to those whom we already know, going to those that we're comfortable with, going to those who are in the same circles as we are, there are an entire group of people that are not getting that cure. See, as churches, we tend to do really good sharing the cure that Jesus paid for us to get. with kind of two groups. We're really good at going to the starving people in Africa, really good at that, and that's a great thing. And we're really good at building buildings and saying, hey, come into our building. And there are many, many churches that really are good at reaching out to others. But overall, I mean, look around here today. And you'll see that there is a certain demographic that is reached. And what God has really been laying on my heart is that there are people in Pincher Creek who there is not a church in this community that is really serving them and reaching them. There are people in Pincher Creek that we hide away, that we try to ignore, that we try to forget about, but whom God wants us to reach. And it's one of those things that as I've been praying about this more and more, and as I've been trying to deliberate, God, what do you have in store for us next? What lies ahead? What's coming down the road? That more and more he's been impressing on my heart that there are people in our community that we need to be the ones to speak to, that we need to be the ones to help, to reach into their lives. The question is, how do we do that? And how do we get a passion within ourselves to go and do that? And honestly, I'm not totally sure. I'm not totally sure how we can do that. But what I want to share with you today is that we need to. Matthew 22, when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment in Scripture? Here's what he said. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. A second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What we see here is that Jesus says, hey, the first thing, the most important thing is that we love God. And a lot of us, we say, you know, I love God. But how much? Where does he stand in relation to everything else in life? And then he says the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And we've been talking about loving our literal neighbors, that we need to love those that are close to us, that we need to love those that God has placed around us. But Jesus doesn't limit it just to your literal neighbors. In fact, one time when he was asked this and he responded in this way, a follow-up question was, well, who is my neighbor? And he tells the story of a Samaritan and a Jew. We call that parable the Good Samaritan. The interesting thing is, though, the person that he was talking to was a Jew, and to the Jew there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. And as you really think about it and you understand how the Jews and the Samaritans got along, the fact of the matter is they didn't. They hated each other. If anything, a Samaritan seeing a Jew on the side of the road should have come up to him and given him a good kick. And yet Jesus points out that this Samaritan, this hated one, this one who honestly would be despised by this Jewish man who's laying on the side of the road if he wasn't in this state, is the one who came and showed love and sacrifice for that man. And so he extends it. It's not just the people that are your friends. It's not just your close relatives. It's not just those who look like you, but it could be your worst enemy, the person that you like the least could be the one that you need to reach. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus, talking to the disciples, says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go into all the world. Not part of it, not just elements of it, but we need to go into all the world. And that can be a scary proposition when you really think about it. Going into all the world, what does that mean for me? And so we might like to say, well, you know, going into all the world, that's what our missionaries are for. We send them into all the world and then we stay home. But that's not what Jesus had in mind by all the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he was telling the disciples about the Holy Spirit who would come to them, he says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, he lays out these places where they are, and then further out and further out and further out until they reach the whole world. And that's where they will be his witnesses. See, I think a lot of people have done really good at reaching into the ends of the earth. Christians have been really good at reaching to the ends of the earth, and we don't want to ignore to the ends of the earth. And Christians have been pretty good at reaching Jerusalem, where we are right now. We're not always the best. But I mean, there's something to be said about the fact that we try to make people who are like us like our churches. But here's my question. When's the last time that we reached Samaria? What do I mean by that? When's the last time that we reached out to those places that make us uncomfortable? To those places that we hide away. Did you know that I didn't even realize that there were trailer parks in Pincher Creek for the first 2 years that I was here? Because you drive into this town and do you see them? No. I think there's one over there somewhere, and there's a big wall in front of it so that you can't see it's a trailer park. Then there's another one, and it's behind a whole bunch of stuff. We tuck them away because we don't want people to see, and yet there are so many that are living in these trailer parks. And it's not because they said, you know what would be really, really fun? I want to live in a really small trailer tucked away where nobody... No, it's because their situation has placed them here. And yet, when's the last time that we went into the trailer parks to reach people, to share the good news of Jesus? How are our churches set up to make them feel welcome? And I would say that for the most part, our churches are not set up to make them feel welcome, which is a shame. I'd like to say that I have something profound to say today, but the fact of the matter is that I don't. Because all I know is that there is a bend up ahead in what God has for us as a church. And I'm not sure what's around the corner yet. All I know is that he wants us to get ready for what lies ahead. And there's only one way that I know how to do that. And the only way that I know how to do that is to begin to pray and ask God to show us how we can begin to reach the people that he wants us to reach. To show us the people that he wants us to reach, to show us the ministries that we need to do, to show us as individuals what we need to do. And so I thought to myself, and I was thinking, well, I need to start praying about this thing. And as I began to think about praying, I realized, you know, this isn't something that should just be me as your pastor praying and then standing up on the platform and saying, okay, everybody, this is what we're going to do. Because that doesn't involve everybody. What I really think needs to happen is that we all need to begin to engage in prayer together. And before you worry, because you know we're coming up on June and things are getting busy, and I don't, you know, oh, don't add a prayer meeting, Pastor. Please don't add a prayer meeting. You'll be happy to know I'm not adding a prayer meeting. I'm not. What I'm asking is that you would join with me in dedicating even 5 minutes each day for the next 40 days to pray. And by pray, I don't mean to lay out your laundry list of things that you'd really like God to bless you with. But I mean just to come before God and say, God, give me a passion for what you have in store for our church and for me. God, show me what lies ahead. Lord, show me the people that need to hear about you. Who are the people that our church needs to reach? And when he begins to show you those people, begin to pray, Lord, how can we reach these people? What can we do as a church? What can I do as a person to reach these people? And so, like I say, that can be a 5-minute thing. It can be a 10 or 20 minute thing. It can be something you do in the morning. It can be something you do in the evening. I don't care when you do it. But I think that it is so important that we as a church begin to pray. And then here's what we're going to do is at the end of this 40 days. So this 40 days, it would start tomorrow and it will run through to the end of June. That is exactly 40 days. And at the end of that, we're going to gather together on that Sunday, and we're just going to talk about, what did you hear from God? Where is God leading us as a church, as a congregation? What does he want us to do? Who are the people that he wants us to reach, and how? And yeah, we're making good strides towards helping people with these community garden beds that we're setting up. That's a start. We're helping to fill their bellies. But now, how can we bring Jesus to them? So that's what I want you to pray for today. And today, if you've got that mobile device, abundantsprings.info, you'll see there's a card there. I think it's card number 5 or something, called 40 Days of Prayer. And there's, if you just give us the honor, really, of being able to have you fill out the form that is in there so that we know that you're praying along with us, that we're not praying by ourselves, but there's also something there for you. If you fill out that form, we're going to send you encouragement and help via email every once in a while just to help keep you on track and to give you things to pray for. There's even a section in there where you can give us your mobile number, and there's a few times to choose between, and I'll send you a text message each and every day if you would like to remind you, hey, don't forget to pray today. Are you praying today? And if you say, well, I don't want emails from you guys, my inbox is full enough already, you know, I'd let you know, but I don't want, that's fine. There's a checkbox to say, no, don't send me email as well. But I really hope that you will join with us in this, in praying for the next 40 days for what God has ahead of us on this journey. Like I said, if you don't have a mobile device or a computer at home or anything like that, there's an iPad set up at the back where you can sign up for this. And we just, I really think that this is important. Because we need to pray. And it can't just come from me. It needs to be a passion of this congregation. To reach those that don't know Jesus. And to reach those who are ignored by those who do know Jesus. And so friends, I know this is a weird message. And it's also weird that it's done already, but it is. But that's all I've got for you. Can I just share with you that this is the hardest message that I have tried to write and not been able to write? It really has been. And I think that there's been a lot of fighting involved in trying to bring this message to fruition, because there's something that the enemy doesn't want us to do here. He doesn't want us praying. He doesn't want us to reach these people. But we need to. That's my heart, that, and I hope that can be your heart too, that you understand that church shouldn't all look like us. Church shouldn't be filled with people that make the same amount as us. Church shouldn't be filled with people who live in the same area of town as us. It should have those people, yes, but it should have more people from all around. And so I really hope that you will, that you'll consider signing up for this 40 days of prayer. Like I say, it can be 5 minutes. We just want to know that you're praying with us and to help you to be able to pray with us. So God bless you.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my master and my savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.